coming to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studio. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. All right, coming off the back end of the second hour, we had Chris Mannix on. He was outstanding on the fight. So I'm getting reaction to that I want to reset momentarily. Telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. Jim Rome Podcast. New episode drops tomorrow. Dirk Nowitzki is going to be on. Willie McGinest also is going to be on. Lots of telephone calls. In fact, we were going through your voicemail over the weekend. Several hundred phone calls. Several hundred phone calls, including one from Australia, who made that call to the 949 number. So we're looking for that as well. It's going to be a good one. Another episode dropping tomorrow, Jim Rome Podcast. Once again, if you haven't figured out the podcast game, it's very, very simple. If you are an iTunes person, you can find it there. If you're an Android person, go to Google Play. If you don't use either one of those things, go to jimrome.com. You find it, you subscribe to it, and then every single week you no longer look, it finds you. And it's a different show, it's a different platform, and it's original content. It is not repurposed, it is not repackaged, it is not a best of, it is unique to that. It's not something you can hear here. Dirk Nowitzki, in fact, I can't remember the last time I interviewed Dirk Nowitzki on this show. If ever. He's been on our TV programs. So I'm really hyped on that. Dirk Nowitzki and Willie McGinest. So make sure you look for that. The new episode is going to drop tomorrow. Going back to Adelaide Bird and the fact that she scored that fight 118-110. Canelo Alvarez, the great Blue Dini tweets, "What are those?
What are those?"
Signed Michael Buffer reading Canelo Triple G scorecards before having to announce them. Matt and Van tweets, "The judge did a fine job, and you were way out of line, Rome. Thanks. The replacement refs. Hashtag Orlando.
Orlando."
The Real Left Hook tweets, "The jab is the bread and butter backbone of the sport. It's asinine that Bird doesn't respect it." Right, Chris Mannix volunteered that. That maybe the reason she scores fights like that the way she does is she does not take into account how important the jab is. If that's true, is there anything more damning than the notion that she doesn't respect the jab, that she doesn't understand the jab? I mean, how the hell is that even possible? That'd be like a referee who doesn't respect field goals or free throws. You're like, "We're not interested in your singles or your doubles or your triples. If it's not a home run, it does not go up on the board." I mean, that is really damning. I hope that's not it, but I can't think of another reason what could be it. Because you can't sit courtside and watch that fight, especially if you have her background and her alleged experience, and score that fight that way. Nobody who knows anything about boxing could see that entire fight and score that fight that way. Canelo, who thought he won, would not have scored that fight that way. It's impossible. Either she's incompetent or she's on the take. And I really don't think it's the second. I think she's incompetent. Let's talk some football for a minute. Sunday's matchup between the Broncos and the Cowboys looked like it was going to be one of the better matchups of the early season. Two Super Bowl contenders locking horns in week two. Dallas's punch-you-in-the-face rushing attack against one of the league's best defenses. Denver's rebuilt offensive line against an improved Cowboys defense. Yeah, well, that's all out the window after the Broncos curb-stomped Dallas 42-17. That's the very definition of a hospital job. The Broncos went straight bully with it. They dotted Dallas's I, they ripped their lunch money, and they hung them by their fruit of the looms on a locker for everybody to laugh at. Denver converts 9 of 15 third downs. Dallas only moved the chains three times on 14 attempts. And with that game already locked down, Broncos corner Aqib Talib took a victory lap with 53 seconds left, a 103-yard interception return that may as well have included a bottle of Cristal and a nice cigar.
Fourth and goal from the six. The quick throw right side is going to be intercepted in the end zone. This is going to be taken out, and running is Aqib Talib. He's going to try to score. Talib with a blocker in front on Prescott at the 30, at the 20. Talib at the 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Denver! Aqib Talib, his 10th career interception return for a touchdown. 102 yards for Aqib Talib.
Broncos radio, 10 pick sixes for a career, and maximum disrespect yesterday. And his only regret was that the party had to stop in the bleachers. Quote, I wanted to run all the way up into the stands and go get me a hot dog. That was my initial plan. That'd have been the best. You want to talk about maximum disrespect? Not only taking it out of the end zone, but going 102 yards with it. The Broncos are for real. Vance Joseph has got himself a gang of bullies. And after watching Denver shut Ezekiel Elliott down, holding him to 8 yards on 9 carries, and doing something that not even the commissioner of the NFL could do, the defense that carried Peyton Manning to a Super Bowl is back. Linebacker Brandon Marshall, quote, we put the league on notice that we're for real. There's no defense in the NFL like us, end quote. There might not be. Because I don't think that anybody thought that they could have that kind of success against the Dallas Cowboy offensive line. I don't think anybody thought that you could completely shut down Ezekiel Elliott the way they did. A guy who started his career looking like Adrian Peterson in his prime, but spent yesterday looking like Adrian Peterson for the Saints. 8 yards? And maybe the worst part wasn't getting shut down, but straight up quitting in the middle of the third quarter after Chris Harris picked off Dak Prescott. Once again, not my words, but LaDainian Tomlinson, who said as much on the NFL Network, that Elliott quit on his teammates. And I've got to say, I agree with him. I mean, that's a horrible, horrible sign and an even worse look for him. The first sign of adversity that this guy's seen on the field, and he handles it every bit as poorly as you would expect. I mean, say what you want about his off-the-field stuff, the terrible, immature decisions that he's made there time and time again, but at least on the field, this guy has always shown up and balled out. Yesterday, though, he's pouting on the bench like some kid whose fidget spinner just broke. His quarterback turns it over. He doesn't even try to make a play or run back to tackle the guy who gets the pick. I mean, just flat out quit on the play. But the fact is, Dallas may not be as good as we all thought, and Denver might be a lot better. That Denver defense is obviously Super Bowl caliber, and if Trevor Siemian continues to sling it the way he did, this guy is way more than just a game manager. Instead of hoping that he won't get them beat, the Broncos can now expect him to make the types of plays that enable them to win. And as for Ezekiel Elliott, this guy's now a disaster both on and off the field. I mean, there's never an excuse to shut it down. You can go... I mean, every single player that I talk to makes the same exact statement. We only worry about things that we can control. We only worry about things that we can control. Well, effort is one of the only things that you can control, so there's never an excuse not to have max effort. And this guy didn't show that yesterday. My man, you have been enough of a distraction off the field. The last thing you want to become is one on the field as well, and now you have. That was a really bad, bad look. And again, that's not just some Twitter egg popping off or even somebody behind a microphone like me popping off. You've got Hall of Famer LaDainian Tomlinson on NFL Network saying the guy flat out quit. Flat out quit. And there's nothing worse that you can say about an athlete than he quit. It's like the worst thing you could possibly say about an athlete. That guy quit. And that's one Hall of Fame running back talking about another star running back saying he quit. In case you missed it, it sounded like this.
I didn't like the way he quit today.
Oh, man.
I didn't like that. You know, he absolutely quit on his team today. And there's going to be times where you're not going to have room to run.
Explain
it's going to be tough
Explain
days.
Explain what you mean by quit, man, because people could misconstrue that. Explain what you mean by quit. Well,
how do you misconstrue quit? Quit is quit. He didn't try. He quit. Listen to the very beginning of that where LT talks about, I don't like that. I don't like what I saw.
I didn't like the way he quit today.
Okay, oh, I don't like the way he quit today. What does that remind you of?
You don't like that cop.
I don't like that cop. Not a very good cop.
I don't like the way he quit today. I don't like that call.
No.
You don't like that cop.
I don't like that cop. Not a very good cop.
Sounds eerily similar, does it not?
What'd it do?
Dear Mr. Rome, after careful consideration of the case against Ezekiel Elliott and his 9-carry, 8-yard performance, we hereby revise his suspension to 0 games and order the immediate removal of his ankle monitor and leg restraints. Compassionately yours, the NFL. Dan Lesks, social justice warrior. Well, looky here. Eddie in Boise. Does that name ring a bell? When I say that, what do you think? When I say Eddie in Boise, what's the first thing that goes through your mind? Well, if you've heard the show for more than a couple of years, you might remember the famous hack-off. The smack-off is for the very best of the best. The hack-off was for the very worst of the worst. And for a time, the hack-off was almost as good as the smack-off for all the wrong reasons. We had a good run with the hack-off, and then it wasn't good anymore. So when I say to you, Eddie in Boise, what's the first thing that goes through your mind? Maybe it's something like this.
Seeing the Vikings standing on the banks of the What Do We Do Now River.
Eddie, what is up?
Hey, Vine. Thanks for the Vine room. Her name was Rachel. She was a clone girl. Whenever she would go on air, we'd get the Brickyard NASCAR scare. Eric in Falls Church, he's got a problem. His emails never match the hype. His social life is
now,
stuck
I could talk
outside.
Over this, but why
the
would I? I can't step on that brilliance.
Because it's about you.
Get it, Ed!
Now, the What Do We Do Now River has a hold
get
of
it,
you
Ed.
At Bohica, Brad and Corona.
See the way he worked in a Bohica reference to that? The Copa Bohica? I don't even know where he was going with that back then. Anyway, he's back now after all this time. I do not even remember the last time Eddie in Boise called. It had to have been one of those calls that we just replayed. But here he is right now, live. Let's go to Boise. Eddie in Boise. Eddie, if you had to guess, bro, when was the last time you called this show?
I'm having flashbacks, Jim.
We all are.
It's been a while. It's probably over a year and a half, probably.
Okay.
At least. I was at that Charger game yesterday, Jim. I felt bad for San Diego Charger fans. There were more Dolphin fans than Charger fans, and if I can be specific about what I mean, I say there was a 2-to-1 ratio of Dolphin to Charger fans. But now I'm talking about San Diego Charger fans. To the average viewer on TV, when you span the there's 25,000 people there out of 29,000 at the StubHub.
Eddie, I got to help you out with something. All right. I know it's been a long time. There was a lot of rust, obviously, to knock off. You weren't ready. Let me take you back, Ed, to a much better time.
Her name was Rachel. She was a clone girl.
Eddie, this is when you were in your prime.
Whenever she would go on air,
this is when you were fighting trim. This is when you were at the very top of your game.
He's got a problem.
This is when you came in here and you rag dog fools.
His social life is stuck on
this is like you looking back, like Facebook memories 5 years ago, and you're shredded and you look great. That's what that is. Now listen to this carefully. This is what you need to aspire to. Because that's not how you sound. That's who you want to be. Go back, Ed. Get it. Go find what you just lost. All right, that's Eddie in Boise. Where's Jolene? Have you ever noticed the hack-off participants? They all hit this certain level, and then they chased for a while, and they could never, ever reclaim their past glory. And I wanted it so badly for all of them. I remember Jolene, when Jolene also was at the top of her game. And then she tried to come back a couple of times. It just went so badly. And then she went away and never came back. So I was so pumped up to see Eddie, but then Eddie's just kind of stammering around about, yeah, I was at that game. So in other words, that was your take. You were at the game. But beyond that, what'd you have to offer? Okay, well, let me tell you, there were Dolphin fans. But let me tell you how many Dolphin fans there were, how many more Dolphin fans there were, and what it sounded like. And Ed, I'm getting nothing from you other than you were at that game. So if you want everybody to know you were at that game, just tweet it. I'm at the game. A picture of you, a selfie of you and all the other Dolphin fans. Or come in and work up some more Barry Manilow. Or do that. And try and turn Copacabana into Copa Bohica. And see how that goes. And then maybe I'll bring it back. Because that's something the clones have to have. They want that hack off back so badly. But it's one thing. You have to be bad. But you have to be so bad you're good. Not just so bad that you're bad. Because then that's not worth a damn, buddy. Still ahead, Dan Mullen is going to join us. That's in the last segment. So the next segment is the next to last segment. So you want to call right now.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
So I asked Eddie in Boise, when was the last time you called? Because I didn't remember. I don't know why I would ask Eddie the last time Eddie called when I can ask Stephen H-Town when the last time Eddie called. Because for some reason, Stucknut knows. Stucknut tweets, Eddie and Boise, last call, March 19th, 2014. At Eric Grand Rapidian tweets in response, I haven't heard Bohica Cabana in ages, yet I knew every word and sang along. War Eddie. Unwar Parody Larry. You sang along with that? You knew every word? Drew in West LA tweets, so Eddie called without having much to say. Bill in Long Island. As an actual artist, I'll give Eddie some credit. Dude carries a tune better than John in Little Rock or Parody Lawrence. As an actual artist, Bill in Long Island. Let's not forget his Twitter handle is The Miano Pan. As an actual artist, you're a Twitter account dedicated to driving your rig into a house. We're still in the Navy and probably will be for life. All right, so what's a better song? That? This? You like this song? You like this song? Do you like this song better than this song?
At Bohica, bred in Corona, her name was Rachel. She was a clone girl. Whenever she would go on air, we get the Brickyard NASCAR scare. Eric in Falls Church, he's got a problem. His emails never match the hype. His social life is stuck on Skype. The loser song holds true because it's about you. Now, though, what do we do now? River has a hold of you at Bohica, bread and Corona. Where self-gloss looks...
This dude... But there was a time, though, when he made that call and it got played back that clones would sing along. They did know the lyrics. When you want the straight scoop on home security, ask street cops. Cops are not fans of old school home security. You're at work, your alarm goes off, time passes. Some operator calls to see if you set off your alarm. Nope. So by the time the cops do show up, it's too late. Cops like blank. Because it helps stop crime before it happens. Blink are motion-activated video cams. They're wire-free. They run on batteries that last 2 years. The instant Blink detects some scumbag snooping around your home. Bam! You get an alert on your smartphone with a video clip. If it's trouble, you call 911 and the cops are ready to roll. Blink is also a brilliant way to protect holiday deliveries that are left on your porch. And Blink's live feed option lets you monitor your home anywhere from your smartphone. Listen, I got a deal for you. Get three Blink cams for what the other guys charge for one, plus an extra 10% off. Hit blinkprotect.com/Rome. Blinkprotect.com/Rome. Once again, blinkprotect.com/Rome. Do it. Really quickly. The Raiders had a party yesterday. A party. And for the first time since Mark Davis announced that he was going to move his football team to Vegas, the Raiders did play a home game that counted. So it's kind of curious what the reception would be like. And if you were wondering how Raider Nation might react, how the black hole would handle the fact that this was their first legitimate chance to express how they really felt about having their team ripped from them once again and move to Vegas. The answer is by completely ignoring the whole thing, because Sunday was a freaking party. Parking lots packed with tailgaters, the Coliseum jammed full of fans, and a 45-20 beatdown. There was a love fest. No booing, no bleep Mark Davis signs, just Raider Nation at its most hyped, nearly burning that place to the ground in joy when Marshawn Lynch hit the Jumbotron for that one-man dance-off. Have you ever seen Marshawn Lynch that happy? Have you ever seen anybody that happy? That wasn't the guy who rose up to the mic at the Super Bowl and repeats, I'm just here so I don't get fined.
Hey, I'm just here so I don't get fined.
I mean, that was a kid on Christmas morning. That was the happiest kid ever on any Christmas morning. I'm telling you, I haven't heard anybody say this, and certainly nobody's ever accused this guy of this, but Mark Davis, this guy might be a freaking genius. He's got sold-out season tickets. He's watching the Rams and the Chargers play in front of thousands of empty seats. He's got Vegas dumping three-quarter of a bill into his pockets for a brand-new stadium. And in a league full of absolute tycoons and business moguls and titans of industry, Mark Davis with the fanny pack, the minivan, and the dumb and dumber cut just got over on everybody. And you really can't blame Raider fan. They just want to see their football team play. They just want to see their football team win. Whether it's LA, Carson, the City of Industry, Irwindale, Oakland, San Jose, Vegas, a back alley with dumpsters, and traffic cones used for goalposts. Anything that gets the autumn wind blowing is good enough for them. And old Mark Davis, boy, he played this thing perfectly, bringing beast mode out of retirement to hype the home crowd, inking Derek Carr to that long-term deal, and understanding that the Raider Nation, as much as it hurts right now, as much as it stings right now, they don't give a damn ultimately where they play, because they'll follow. Sure, it hurts right now. Sure, they feel like they got jammed. But they'll follow. They always do. So the LA Basin went from having zero teams with nobody caring to having two teams with pretty much nobody caring. And the guy who was only invited to the owners' meetings because his old man left in the team has his fans still coming out and supporting him. Does Raider fan sound like Charger fan in San Diego? Charger fan San Diego is furious. They're enraged. Raider fans should be, but they were partying like there's no tomorrow. Mark Davis, pretty smart apparently, with the fanny pack, the minivan, and the dumb and dumber cut. What a party. And regardless of what the Jets say or think, Marshawn partying on the sideline was one of my favorite NFL moments ever. That was like not only the highlight of the weekend, that might have been one of the highlights of my life. Marshawn was awesome. And the Jets couldn't be any more embarrassing than they were, or at least I thought, until they reacted the way they did. Like, this guy's just rubbing our nose in. No, he's not. He couldn't care less that it was you on the other side. The guy was at home playing his first game and having the time of his life. Dan Mullen joins us when we come back. Mississippi State head football coach is next. Look at John in Little Rock wanting to have a quick rebuttal to Eddie in Boise for his Copa Bohica song. Hang in there, John. Hey, John, I might end the interview with Dan Mullen 30 seconds early, maybe.
Hey, John.
So you'll have time for it. First things first, I've got a sports update for you. Here it is. Jay Berman, it's all you. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Remember, O-Reward Member Appreciation Month is ending soon. Do not miss out on double point offers on appearance items, oil specials, and more. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. ATP is from Jacob in NorCal. Jim, how are you? Good, bro. Good. How are you? Thanks for playing along. There's your ATP. Twitter contest brought to you by Castrol Edge Extended Performance for Less. You can go 15,000 miles between oil changes, titanium strong Castrol Edge. More than just an oil, it is liquid engineering. We're joined right now by the head football coach at Mississippi State. Ninth season with the Bulldogs. He was the 2014 National Coach of the Year, the 2014 SEC Coach of the Year. Mississippi State all over number 11 LSU on Saturday, 37-7. They're 3-0. They're number 17 in the AP poll. They're at number 11 Georgia Saturday. 7 p.m. Eastern. That's Life in the SEC. Dan Mullen is my guest. Dan, nice to have you back on. How are you?
I'm doing great, Jim. Always great to be with you.
You too, Dan. Thanks so much. Now, when you're a head coach, obviously you're going to have some extreme highs and some extreme lows. You've had a lot of big wins in your career at Mississippi State, but where does beating number 11 LSU by 30 on Saturday rank among the best wins?
You know what? It was up there. We've had some big ones. The year we went to number one in the season that year, we had a bunch of big wins and some early on. But, through the years, a bunch of them. But I know the atmosphere Saturday night at Davis Wade Stadium, our fans put on, I mean, it was electric. And they were rocking from before kickoff. To be honest with you, after the game, and I was driving home, I think they were all still rocking out in the parking lot, and I think some of them were still there Sunday morning when I drove into the office to get back to work on this next game. They were still partying. So it was a great atmosphere and a fun night here in Stark Vegas.
I was going to say, Dan, that's exactly where I was going to go next. You and I have talked about Stark Vegas in the past and about the home field advantage you have when you play there. But, I mean, really, and you touched on it, but how special is it to have a win like that in front of those hometown fans?
Well, it's huge for them, you know what I mean, because it's – the rivalry game, I mean, half of Mississippi is closer to Baton Rouge than Starkville. So, there's a lot of being right near each other. There's a lot of rivalry between neighborhoods and friends and families of people that live close by. And so I know they love getting that big win in that way and getting bragging rights for this year anyway.
All right, you got a huge challenge coming up again this weekend, which I'll get to. I know you're never going to get ahead of yourself, but when you have a win like that, does it feel like a declaration that Mississippi State is back?
I don't know about that, because especially when you're in the SEC and for us, because your reward of beating a top 15 team one week is to play somebody that's ranked even higher the next week. And that's kind of seems to be life in this league sometimes. It's not about the one game. It's the, it's the week after week after week of the schedule that you have to play. So, it was a great win for us. I think it showed our guys right now that we can go out there and play with just about anybody in the country if we play hard and execute at a high level. But we have a new challenge ahead of us, having to go do it on the road against a team that might even be more talented than LSU.
Mississippi State head coach Dan Mullen joining us. Dan, I want to talk to you about your quarterback, Nick Fitzgerald. He had nearly 270 total yards. He had 3 touchdowns on Saturday. This was not a highly recruited player. In fact, only small schools were interested in him. You've got an amazing reputation for developing quarterbacks. What did you see in him that made you think that he might be special?
Well, he came to our camp, and he was a high school receiver, and his high school coach said, hey, he can really throw it. He's a quarterback, but we run the wishbone. And he had a guy in front of him that was a senior that ran the wishbone, ended up, I think, going to the Citadel or, one of the a military school and ran the option in college. And so he said, but he can really throw it. And so John Hevesy, our line coach, went down and watched him practice during his spring of his junior year, and they were throwing it around and doing some drills, and he really, the ball jumped out of his hands. He has great size at about 6'4", 6'5", and he's about 240 pounds. But our line coach came back and said, hey, he's got receiver speed, he runs the wishbone, and he's got a big arm, and the high school coach said they don't run that offense, you're not going to get to see it. So we got him up to our camp, and we got to work with him and realized, hey, he's got arm talent. Even though he's not in one of these systems and throwing it all over the place, we can coach him how to play quarterback and how to make reads, but I can't coach him how to be 6'5", 230 pounds, can run and really have a strong arm. It's hard to coach those things, so we figure, here's this guy that has the skill set we're looking for. We just got to go work hard and teach him all the fundamentals, techniques, and reads and what it is, the specifics of being a quarterback.
Yeah, in terms of fundamentals, right? You can't coach those things. You can't coach 6'4", you can't coach 6'5". He's got all these great, great things, but you can't coach fundamentals. And I've heard you talk about this in the past, that young quarterbacks need to understand that while the chicks might dig the long ball, they don't dig the checkdowns, but you want to make certain that the players understand this, that the average play is the right play. It's tough for young quarterbacks to embrace that. How do you sell that to them?
Well, it just takes time. As you said, chicks dig the long ball, And so when they're up there, hey, we're at a game and there's 15,000 students and, by odds you're saying probably 7,500 of them are college girls watching you play and they're on TV watching. They want to see the touchdown pass on SportsCenter highlight, SportsCenter doesn't throw, oh, there he goes on the 30. Hey, he checks it down in the flat on this fourth progression in the read and it's second down and 6. That doesn't make SportsCenter, but it wins you a lot of football games. And so I think he does a fabulous job of learning. He's starting to come on now, and you see it game by game of him understanding what the understanding the defense, understanding what we're trying to accomplish offense, and just take what the defense gives you and move the ball up and down the field and win football games. That's the most important thing you can do.
So once again, you win a big football game like that, and what's the reward? You play a team that's probably more talented, ranked even higher. This is how the SEC works. So when you come off that huge win, and then you've got to get ready for Georgia, how do you go about getting your guys to shift from celebrating that win to preparing for the next challenge and doing it quickly?
Well, we came in, you know, we came in early this morning and put that game to rest before classes. So the guys got in here early. You know, we go through, you know, how we won that game. We watch a couple clips of the film and clean that up and put it to rest. And they come back this afternoon. It's 100% focus on Georgia on the next game. And you know, it's great because, you know, all the people that are walking around campus that are patting them on the back right now, I explain, it really is only about 12 inches, and they're kicking them in the rear end next week. So if they like the pats on the back, make sure they keep those hands up high, and we get back to work so that that pat in the back doesn't turn to a kick in the ass next week.
Dan Mullen joining us. Well said. All right, so now we get to the important stuff before you go. There was a report last week that your music playlist includes Tupac, U2, NWA, Jimmy Buffett, and Taylor Swift. There's some amazing range in that, Dan. I respect it if it's true. Is it true?
100%. I go out, I run every morning, and you know what? I got like a mixed run tape, and I shuffle. You know, and sometimes I'm sitting there and I'm running, and you know, there are people run by you in the morning, and I'm not. I guess I'm probably know out all over the country. You know, we're out here in Mississippi, so I don't use the headphones. I just let it play because I like to listen to some nature too. So it just plays loud on my phone. So like an old school, like, you know, I'm running down the street with an old school beatbox playing out there. But the but it is, and then sometimes I'll see people run by me, and I'm wondering, okay. Boy, those people just ran by me. I got Taylor Swift playing. They're like, what a weirdo this guy must be, or something like that. Or even though I like Taylor Swift, and then the next time I got some NWA going, and they're like, wow, you know, our coach is kind of thugged up a little bit. I don't know. I enjoy music. I enjoy all of it on there, you know. And I tell you what, I love, just saw the show with Jimmy Iovine and Dr. Dre on HBO. I thought that was unbelievable. I'm a big music fan. And now U2 capitalizes it all because I'm a big, big, big U2 fan. I'm a huge parrot head with Jimmy Buffett. But you got to have that mix of everything in there just to keep you well-rounded.
But that show you're talking about is the Defiant Ones. I mean, that's amazing. So what is it with the no ear pods or no headphones? Are you worried about cars coming by, or do you just want to hear those tunes?
You know what it is I used to run with the headphones, and then I don't know, I got some case on my phone, and it couldn't plug my headphones
right
into one day. And I'm like, all right, well, I'm just going to listen to it. And I realized, you know what, I get to hear some of nature, and you get to kind of enjoy things with the music in the background. Instead of blocking out the whole world, you kind of feel one with nature out there running around. And, you know, we're not in the big city here in Starkville, so I don't think I annoy people with my music playing when I'm out running in the morning.
I'm going to try it. I think you ended up with some, like, third-party product that didn't fit in, so the headphones didn't work. That makes sense.
That's
the last
time. That's what it is, you know. That's my new invention. So now I just run with
patent
the music
it
playing in the background and enjoy nature a little bit too.
Patent it, Dan. Last thought: your shoe game is always incredibly strong, especially your Yeezy game. How are the kicks treating you these days?
Well, it's fantastic. You know, I mean, fortunately, I got a bunch of different stuff. You know, with the Yeezys, I got all the new NMDs from Adidas, which are some of the most comfortable shoes, and they're making them kind of swagged out. And you know, the great thing that somehow, you know, I don't know if it's cool. The players make fun of me sometimes, and some people do think it's cool. We've created that I can wear a suit and get away with wearing a suit and comfortable sneakers as long as they're kind of like cool, swagged out shoes. And so everybody's got to wear uncomfortable shoes sometimes. I'm in these great, like, you know, I'm in my Yeezys or NMDs while I'm wearing a suit, and somehow I've made that cool, so I get to be comfortable while I'm all dressed up.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, you got to be a certain kind of guy to pull that off. You got to have a certain kind of swag to pull that off. I've thought about that. I can't do that yet. So it's all about how you kind of represent, right? You just kind of sell it. You got to project. You got to own it. And if you do that, you can do it.
That's what it is, you know. I mean, you got to have the sock game with it too. I like going with the crazy socks, and if you have fun with it and you enjoy it right there, you can pull it off. And and somehow I've managed to do it from whether I'm wearing some Stan Smiths, some Yeezys, the NMDs, I don't know. You just wear it all. Some custom painted Adidas shoes, you know, with the turtle shell shoes. You gotta have some fun with it.
Yeah, see, my game's not that strong, but Stan Smith, that will never not work. Stan Smith will never not be cool, right?
That's what it is, you know. I mean, you can wear it with anything right there.
Dan Mullen, head coach, Mississippi State. And believe me, it's very cool to be in Stark Vegas right now. They're 3-0. Another challenge straight ahead. They got number 11 Georgia next. Dan, great job. Congrats on a huge win. And good luck this weekend. Great to have you back.
Thanks for having me on, Jim. Love being on the show. Have a great
day.
You
too. Dan, you're the best. Always great to talk to you. Dan Mullen. Man, that was an incredible win for them. Not only beat LSU, 11th-ranked LSU, but beat them by 30 in Stark Vegas. An amazing atmosphere. And next up, they've got Georgia, Saturday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, and they're on the road. My thanks to Dan Mullen. Huge call coming up in a moment. But, as I mentioned, this guy wanted a rebuttal to Eddie in Boise, John in Little Rock. John, what's up? Good morning.
Good morning. What's up, Rome? I like to say to the sports world, we're having great football out of college and the NFL. Keep it rolling, everybody. I'm loving it. And as for Mr. Ed, hey, Edward, you lost your mojo. If you call the show with warm or boring sports take, I will puke up. Hey, Eddie, bring us the action. You could be your worst or be your best. Just rip the sports take out your chest. Yeah, Eddie, you've lost your mojo. How did I make up this parody so quick about your soulness? I don't know.
John, nice job. Rack him. He did a remix of Eddie and Boise's Copa Bohica and then hyped himself for coming up with it so quickly. John Little Rock was the strongest effort in a while. The Kingsmen are back. It's time to save the world with the help of their American cousins, the Statesmen. Get ready for a proper spy movie, Kingsmen. The Golden Circle, only in theaters and IMAX, September 22nd.
I feel like everyone else. I think Teddy Atlas, I believe, said it best. You know, I'm almost sick of it. You know, these dudes, I actually have a couple friends that are UFC fighters. And it doesn't happen as often in the UFC, but as it does boxing, but it does still happen. You know, you see these dudes, they go in there and they literally put their lives on the line. You know, you go out there and you take a shin to the face or you take an accumulative, you know, 100 punches, you know, you're losing a little bit of, you're losing your health when you come out of that ring. You are less healthy for sure when you come out of there versus when you went in there. And for a judge, I don't know. I could be being ignorant right here, but I'm assuming that Adelaide Byrd has not professionally boxed. And I think it shows, by the way, if you looked at that scorecard, it shows. I haven't boxed at a professional level, but I've watched enough to know that she didn't watch the same fight that I did.
Pittsburgh Steelers safety Mike Mitchell talking about that fight. Well, you know, that's a bad, bad job of judging when you come off an NFL weekend like that and a college football weekend like that, and that's your top story. And an NFL player has that strong of an opinion about it. Mike Mitchell. My thanks to him. We had Chris Mannix, Dan Mullen coming up big to close the show, along with John in Little Rock. Thanks to the XR4TI. Thank you for listening. Don't forget the Jim Rome podcast drops tomorrow. More on that tomorrow. See you then. We're out.